السلام على عباد الذين اصطفى ما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قتل في سبيل الله فهو شهيد ومن مات في سبيل الله فهو شهيد ومن مات في الطاعون فهو شهيد ومن مات في البطن فهو شهيد والغريق شهيد أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام الطاعون شهادة لكل مسلم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني قولي وانفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. My dear sister brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to come on this beautiful day of Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives us all of our sins. We ask Allah azza wa jalla that He accept from us this Jumu'ah, accept it from all the Muslimin all over the world. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever trial and tribulations are happening to the Muslims, wherever they may be, Allah to give them afiyah and protection, ya Rabbil Alameen. And grant them jannah fiddaus wa Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, many people today are very much worried about the spread of the coronavirus, or COVID-19 as it has been recently renamed. And people are to such a degree of fear and anxiety and shock. And subhanAllah, it seems like it's creeping in the back of everyone's minds. And so sometimes, subhanAllah, we don't have the right reaction towards such things because we don't understand how a Muslim should understand such concepts, right? There is a certain, again, a lack of, and the only reason I'm addressing this topic is because, although mashallah, many of us might be aware of, like, what is the reality of such a thing. The Prophet ﷺ said, so beautiful in hadith, he says, لَا يُصِبِ الْمُسْلَمِ نَصَبٍ وَلَا وَصَبٍ وَلَا هَمٍ وَلَا حَزَنٍ وَلَا أَذَنٍ وَلَا غَمٍ حَتَّى الشَّوْكَةُ يُشَاكُوَ إِلَّا كَفَّرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُ وَكَمَا قَالِهِ الصَّلَاةُ والسلام. The Prophet ﷺ said, no anxiety, grief, depression, any pain, any harm, any type of worry that a person might receive, that afflicts a Muslim, even the point that even if a thorn were to prick them, except Allah Ta'ala will forgive sins because of it. Except Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will forgive sins because of it. And so our lack of understanding makes us fear that if we were to be afflicted by such a sickness, then what happens is that we will die. And so there is this physical sickness that happens, and there's also spiritual sickness as well. The physical sickness, of course, is whatever disease a person has on the outside. But the real treatment that we need to have is treating the disease on the inside. What is the disease on the inside? حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, the sickness of the ummah at the end of times is love of the dunya and hatred of death. It is love of the dunya and hatred of death. What we need to understand is a very important concept. And I want everyone to understand this idea, inshallah ta'ala. The idea of becoming a shaheed, a martyr. The Prophet ﷺ, he described the shaheed in so many different verses. I tried to compile as many of the fadail of the virtues of becoming a martyr in Islam, but it was just way too long. It would never be covered properly. I tried to do it in 40 minutes in another masjid. I couldn't do it, because there's just too many things the Prophet described about martyrdom. What is the shaheed? What does the word mean? It's either shahid or mashhud. The meaning is either you are a witness or you're being witnessed. Either you are a witness or you're being witnessed. What does this mean? Is that when a person becomes a martyr, it's because they make shahada that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. They never left their iman, even at that moment. If a person were to die in the battlefield, they recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. So Allah ta'ala says, till qiyamah, they're still alive, right? No martyr is dead. That till qiyamah, they're still bearing witness that Allah ta'ala is one. And the mashhud is what? That the place where the shaheed died will be a witness for him. The angels are a witness for him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yashhadu bi annahu muslimun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes shahada that this person is a Muslim. Allah bears witness that this person is a Muslim. Allah bears witness bi husni niyatihi wa ikhlasihi. That Allah bears witness that this person had pure intentions. And this person was sincere when they gave up their life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many different narrations the Prophet ﷺ mentions about the rewards of martyrdom. What is it? لِلشَّهِيدِ سِتُّ khisal. The Prophet ﷺ in the hadith of Tirmidhi says that there are six rewards that a shaheed gets. He says, يُغْفَرَ لَهُ مِنْ أَوَّلِ دَفْعِهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That before even the blood drops onto the ground, the person is completely forgiven. Before the first drop of blood goes on the ground, the person is completely forgiven. Another hadith we find that the Prophet ﷺ says so beautifully. He said that the pain that you think a martyr is going through, he's not going through any pain. The Prophet ﷺ says the pain of death for him is like the prick of like as if an ant took pinched him. It's like the pinch of an ant. The Prophet ﷺ, he tells us that at the time of death, all of his sins are forgiven. And it just increases and it starts to become even more beautiful after that. The Prophet ﷺ said, وَيَرَى مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ That at the time of death, he sees his place in Jannah. At the time of death, subhanAllah, the martyr will see their place in Jannah. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَيُجَالُ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ And he will be protected from the punishment of the grave. The Prophet ﷺ said that the person who dies as a martyr will be protected from the punishment of the grave. Then the Prophet ﷺ says, اللهم صل على محمد ويؤمن من الفزع الأكبر سبحان الله that this person will be protected from the greatest of all anxieties. What is this anxiety? The scholars have discussed this in many different narrations, and they say it could be this is the greatest anxiety, or this is the greatest anxiety. What does this mean? We find in another ayah of the Quran, Allah says, فَفَزِعَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala says, when the second horn is blown, and everyone raises on the day of judgment, and everyone is worried and concerned, and everyone's saying, nafsi, nafsi, myself, not looking at wife, children, spouse, husband, no one, not looking at mother or father, no one's looking at anyone at that day, worried about Allah's punishment and Allah's power on that day. The illa man sha'allah, except those who Allah Ta'ala wants. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala writes, he says that the martyr is one of those people that Allah Ta'ala on the day of judgment, while everyone is worried, they woke up from their graves, the martyr wakes up completely fine. He's not worried whatsoever. And that is, like Allama Alusi rahimahullah ta'ala says, that's a small thing. Because what is the faza'ul akbar? That you will be protected from the fire of Jahannam. Subhanallah. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that the person will be protected from the fire of Jahannam. And they'll be yuzawwaju isnaini wa sab'ina min al-hurin a'in. That person will be wedded to 72 of the women of Jannah, subhanAllah. And then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that that person will be given a tajul waqar. Al-yaqutu minu khayru min al-dunya wa ma fiha. Subhanallah. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that person will wear a crown of honor. And that crown of dignity and honor, any gem on it, the Prophet says a sapphire on it is it's more valuable than the entire world and whatever it contains. The Prophet he elaborates and he explains blessing after blessing after blessing for the martyrs. The Prophet says that and we know it from the Quran that this person is still alive. And so where is this person? The Prophet described and he said that this person is being sustained. Fi jawfi tayr, that he is ala jawfi tayr, right? Not in the bird, but on the bird, right? The Prophet ﷺ said that person is on a bird, he's roaming Jannah. He's eating from the fruits of Jannah. He's enjoying from the fruits of Jannah, subhanAllah. The martyr is, subhanAllah, enjoying from the fruits of Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ continues. He says, Allah Ta'ala boasts to his angels and says, look at my slave. Oh my angels, look at my slave. Allah Ta'ala brags about such a person. SubhanAllah, we'd be so happy if our parents talked about us, people talk about us, that look at this person, he's so great. Look at this person, he's so great. Allah SubhanAllah is bragging to the angels, look at my slave. Look how great this person is. Allah Ta'ala praises such an individual. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? He said what? That we find in the Quran, وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِم مِّنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ In which place of Jannah are the martyrs? In which place of Jannah are the martyrs? Allah Subhanahu describes. He says that the martyrs are where? مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ That if the Anbiya are in the highest places of Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus, then similarly Allah Ta'ala says their companions in Jannah will be the martyrs. So the martyrs, anyone who died in martyrdom, will also be in a high place, Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah ta'ala. But we find what? That there's a beautiful hadith the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam describes. And this is the most important thing. That there was one time when the Prophet ﷺ sent out a group of Qurra, a group of reciters of the Quran, to teach people how to read the Quran, to understand Islam. He sent this group out to go and teach people. When they reached that area, or they reached close to that area, the entire group was ambushed by the tribe that said that we wanted to learn Islam. So that entire group that the Prophet ﷺ sent, they were killed. They were killed. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for a long time, he read Qunut al-Nazila. He read in the Qunut al-Nazila, the dua against such people that did such a thing. And then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, subhanAllah, receives wahi. Ala qad balagu anna qawmana, bi anna qad laqina rabbana, faradhi anna waradhu aw arda'ana. SubhanAllah. That this message came from the martyrs to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from Allah Ta'ala. Allah sends his wahi down to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and says that these people sent you a message, Ya Rasulullah. What is the message? Oh, tell our people that we just met Allah and Allah is pleased with us and we're pleased with Him. Allah is pleased with the martyrs. Allah is happy with the martyrs. And what do we find, subhanAllah, that even Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ya Allah, you know, he made this thing clear for the Sahaba. He said, what did to? I would love to, if I can go out every single expedition that I sent out. Every single group that I send out. فَأُقْتَلْ ثُمَّ أُحْيَا ثُمَّ أُقْتَلْ ثُمَّ أُحْيَا ثُمَّ أُقْتَلْ ثُمَّ أُحْيَا. The Prophet said, I wish I could go and be martyred and given life again. I wish I can go and be martyred and given life again. I wish I could go and be given martyrdom and be given life again. The Prophet said this about 10 times. He said, I wish I could go and die and come back. Don't go and die and come back. Why? Because there is a hadith in Nasa'i, which the Prophet describes, that the martyrs are enjoying under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're enjoying under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah goes and asks the martyrs and says, oh my martyrs, oh my shuhada, what would you like? And they say, Ya Allah, you gave us Jannah. Is there anything else we could want? Is there anything else we could want? Honestly speaking. And then Allah, he comes and asks again. And he says, oh my martyrs, what would you like? And they go and say, Ya Allah, is there anything we would like? We're in Jannah. Then Allah says, oh my martyrs, what would you like? And they say, Ya Allah, if we wanted one thing, we'd rather go back into the world again and get martyrdom again. We want to go back and become shaheed again. Because that pleasure that we experienced at the time of maut, when death came to us, we can't describe that type of pleasure. They'd rather go back and again and again and again. Why am I mentioning all of this? Why are we talking about people? Because why? Because generally when I spoke about martyrdom here, people are thinking it's a person who dies in the battlefield. The Prophet even, and I'll let you know, the Prophet presented the same question to the Sahaba. He said, what do you think a martyr is? And everyone here would say a person who dies in the battlefield. The Prophet and the Sahaba said the same thing. الَّذِينْ يُقْتَلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Those who die in the path of Allah. Those who are killed in the path of Allah. The Prophet said, إِنَّ شُهَدَاءَ أُمَّتِي إِذَا لَقَلِيلٌ. The Prophet said, then the martyrs, my ummah, will be very few. If you are only thinking about the people who die in the battlefield, that's very few. مَنْ مَاتَ فِي مَنْ قُتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. The Prophet then explains. He says, whoever is killed in the path of Allah, he's a martyr. وَمَنْ مَاتَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. If someone just dies in the path of Allah, not in by death, by the killing, they just die by just some type of death that happened to them, they're also shaheed. The Prophet said, وَمَنْ مَاتَ فِي الطَّاعُونِ فَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. وَمَنْ مَاتَ فِي الْبَطْنِ فَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. The Prophet said, whoever dies from stomach pain, and the ulama describe it by if a person died because of some type of stomach illness, either by vomiting or the pain that they really received, then that person is also a martyr. The Prophet said, وَالْغَرِيقُ شَهِيدٌ. The person who drowns is shaheed. There's literally, I tried to again compile as much as I could find about the shuhada. I compiled about 23 of them, 23 different places where the Prophet describes people who didn't die in the battlefield but they're martyrs. And this is my own weak investigation. Well, we find other scholars compile 40 or 50 different ways that a person can become a martyr. And just giving you some examples, the Prophet ﷺ said so beautifully. He said, whoever dies by a fire is a martyr. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever dies by stomach pain we described before is a martyr. Someone who drowns is a martyr. Someone who dies by a wall falling on them is a martyr. Someone who falls into a hole is a martyr. The Prophet ﷺ described, وَالنُفَسَاءُ شَهَادًا. Even a woman who died from childbirth is a martyr. In another hadith we find, وَالْمَرْأَةُ بِجُمْعٍ. That a woman who died because of labor pain, she's a martyr. If a woman died because of pregnancy, she's a martyr. The Prophet ﷺ describes and he says, those who died as students of knowledge are martyrs. The Prophet ﷺ describes whoever defends their wealth when someone tries to come out of self-defense, they defended themselves to protect their wealth, to protect their family, to protect themselves. They're also martyrs. A person who dies by an accident where they slip off of a ride. Back then it was a camel, nowadays it's a car. If someone were to die by a slip, they're also a martyr. The Prophet ﷺ, he made it so big. Even the hadith of the Prophet was said so beautifully, that whoever says every morning 3 times, every evening 3 times, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ السَّمِيعِ الْعَلِيمِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ السَّمِيعِ الْعَلِيمِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ السَّمِيعِ الْعَلِيمِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And then reads the last 3 ayats of Surah Al-Hashr. Whoever reads that every morning and evening 3 times, that person will die as a martyr too. The Prophet says so beautifully, he said a person who just has intention to die as a martyr will die a martyr. Even if they die on their beds. All of these are just considered martyrdom. And people should crave it. La ilaha illallah. We should crave it. We should desire it. In any way we go, you gotta go some way. You're either gonna go in a bad way, an okay way, or the best way. If you were to go in the best way, it'd be martyrdom. Allah that will take. You can't stop him from taking. Might as well go in the best way. And out of all of these is what? وَالطَّاعُونَ شَهَادَةٌ لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. The Prophet ﷺ said a plague is a shahada for every single believer. If a person were to die from a plague, right, by an illness which affects a community or an area, even if they didn't die, it's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he says to Aisha radiallahu anha, Aisha radiallahu anha, سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الطاعون فأخبرني أنه عذاب يبعثه الله تعالى على من يشاء وقد جعله الله تعالى رحمة للمؤمنين. Allah's Nabi alayhi salam says that when Aisha asked him about a plague, he alayhi salam responded and said that it is a punishment that Allah sends on a community. It is a punishment that Allah sends on a community. But Allah has made it a mercy for believers. Allah has made it a mercy for believers. If any Muslim were to even stay in the plague and survive in the plague, they're a martyr. They're literally a walking martyr in the world. And if they were to die, they get martyrdom. We don't understand this in Islam, where we think of it as a punishment from God. It's a punishment for certain people, but it's not a punishment for others. For believers, we don't consider it. When the Black Death came, when the bubonic plague struck in the 1300s, when it hit Christendom, when it hit Christian Europe, majority of the Christians of the time said we're being punished by God, right? And I let you know that the Muslims also got hit by the plague too. And they're like, okay, the Prophet ﷺ gave us some advice, we're just supposed to stay here, and inshallah we'll become martyrs. Right, that's why you find the spread of the plague being less in the Muslim areas, naturally speaking. Because the Christians got it and then you start running everywhere. And they start spreading it even more. You know, the more you spread, the more you'll dread and the more you'll be dead. You know, that's exactly what happened here. They went around too much and then they spread the disease. Whereas Muslims, what is the command of the Prophet ﷺ? Is that the Prophet ﷺ said that if you are in the area of a plague, you stay there. Right, just stay there. Be patient and stay there. If you are patient and you stay there, you'll get the reward of a martyr. Okay, and the Prophet said, whoever runs away from the area of the plague after being in there, they're like the one who ran away from the battlefield. Allah will not forgive them. There's a ruling in Islam that a person's supposed to stay there. And so what we find is what? That a person should not worry, not be stressed. If it happens, like people are like, oh, this guy got the plague, oh my God, I can't compete. No, don't. Look, if the person has it, he has it. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? If Allah gave it to him, it happened, right? Now subhanAllah, make dua for them. Allah give them sabr jameel. Allah make it easy for them. Allah give them afia. You know, Allah keep them alive. MashaAllah, make dua, you know. MashaAllah, you should make dua for them. Don't treat them like a disease on the earth. La ilaha illallah. If Allah gave it to someone, gave it to someone. Not to say you go and jump into every single place where there's a plague now, right? Now, okay, I'm going to go jump into the water now. I'm going to die, you know. That's a different type of thing. You can't, Allah gives it to you. You don't go and grab it, you know. La ilaha illallah. So what do we find? That Islam has taught us many things of preventative measures. Preventative measures. The first and foremost thing that I want to address for everyone here is that we have to remind ourselves that subhanAllah, people are like, you know, what is the hikmah? What is the wisdom? What is the wisdom? What is the wisdom? Every time, what is the wisdom? You know, la ilaha illallah. You know, what is the wisdom of the beard? What is the wisdom of the miswak? You know, people will find out these things years later, thousands of years later, people will come back and say, like they found out about the miswak of the Prophet ﷺ, so many medical benefits for this thing. It has more fluoride than even toothpaste. Right, this miswak is such a mubarak, you know, twig that the Prophet ﷺ used to use, a stick that the Prophet ﷺ used to use to clean his teeth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You and I don't, look, if you keep searching for wisdom, you keep forgetting, we keep forgetting that Allah does all wise. Allah does al-hakim. He's always doing things with wisdom. When he gives you sharia, it's with wisdom. You know, subhanAllah, what is the wisdom for the beard? What is the wisdom for the niqab? La ilaha illallah, half the world is wearing niqab now. Half the world is wearing niqab now. Because why? It keeps, you know, we can talk about like these things, like, you know, like some sisters, like, you know, just for some cosmetic benefits, right? Like, you know, people are going outside and letting the sun touch their face. You know, you look at a rock erodes because of the wind hitting it. Because of the wind hitting it. So the rock kind of quote-unquote becomes wrinkly. Similarly, all these like, you know, Western women, they go on the sun too much. And so their faces become wrinkly, you know? If they just kept it in a barrier, it would become, you look like you're 20 when you're 50. Like, I mean, you don't come for a Jummah for cosmetic benefits. But mashallah, you know, there are so many hikmas that we can get. So many wisdoms that we can get. But we need to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what do we find? Allah that made certain things haram. He made like rats haram. He made snakes haram. He made bats haram. And so when people ingest these animals, they are asking for it. They are asking for it. Right? And alhamdulillah, we know from deen that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi taught us these things. He taught us to be clean, sallallahu alayhi wa. He taught us to be clean, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, again, the reason why the black plague didn't spread so much is because people were making wudu 5 times a day. You know, like they're just making wudu, they're cleaning themselves. Similarly, what you and I do is we should be making wudu very regularly. Because what? You clean off all the germs and stuff like that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw one guy, he was spitting. Like, you know, they used to have a habit of spitting. The Prophet said, look, if you spit into a cloth. If you cough, you cough into a cloth. If you sneeze, you sneeze into a cloth. What do? Hachoo! And we spread it everywhere. Right? We shoot everyone with these beams. The Prophet said, even if you spit on the ground, make sure you cover it. That's dirty, you know? But what do? We cough in front of people, then we cough in our hands. Assalamu alaikum, brother. How are you doing? I'm sorry, you know, I had to clean out my throat, you know. The Prophet didn't teach us that. The Prophet taught us to be clean. You know, in Jumu'ah, we're supposed to all smell great. The Prophet doesn't make sure that, he said, before you even enter the house, the Prophet used to do what? He used to use miswak. Because your breath is kicking, bro. You gotta get home, and then when you gotta meet your wife, she's just, and kind of enjoy the smell, you know? We don't do these things. We don't clean ourselves. We show like the biggest, we want to show everyone what we ate for dinner. So then we burp the biryani, we burp the nahari, we burp the baya, we burp the falafel, we burp everything in front of everyone. So everyone could know, that was it, okay. You know, I can smell it myself away. If I can smell it myself away, cover the mouth, ya Allah. We can cover the mouth. It's jayiz, it's halal, I'm telling you. I give you fatwa right now. You can cover the mouth. It's part of deen to cover yourself, okay? The Prophet specifically said, don't do this in a masjid. Because why? Because the adab of a masjid is what? It's a closed environment. If you do it here, it spreads everywhere. If you do it here, it spreads everywhere. This is common sense. But again, common sense isn't so common anymore. Right? This is what we're finding here. The Prophet really, he emphasized cleanliness. He emphasized cleanliness, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't like that people spread it. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala writes, he says, if a person knows there are certain utensils that have diseases on them, you don't go around sharing them. You know, like, these are just common things that we should just understand. Brother, have tawakkul on Allah. Tawakkul on Allah. Like, it doesn't mean you test Allah, right? Allah tests you, you don't test Allah, right? If like, okay, brother, try this and see if Allah does save you, that's testing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's foolishness. You know, there's some bewakufi in there, you know? Like, you don't just do stuff like that. So you don't test Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala tests. So the Prophet did not want it to spread. One time Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he was going towards a place where there was a plague. Ta'un al-Amwas. There was a plague of Amwas. Umar radiallahu was going there. He hears that there's a plague there. And then so he stops, he makes mashwara, he asks the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and says, what should we do? Everyone gave their advices, nasiha and all that stuff, right? And then finally, like, he said, alright, we see that some of the Sahaba said, we should go back, so he said, let's go back. So someone said to him, afirana min qadarillah. Someone said to him, afirana min qadarillah. Are you running away from the qadr of Allah? The destiny of Allah? And Umar radiallahu anhu said something so beautiful. He said, nafirru min qadarillah ila qadarillah. We're running away from the qadr of Allah to the qadr of Allah. We're going from the destiny of Allah to the destiny of Allah. He goes and says, look man, if you had a camel and there was some good grass on this land, there's no grass on the other, where would you feed your camel? This is common sense. There's certain things you have to do to prevent things from happening. Similarly, as Muslims, we need to prevent these things from spreading. And if a person can find a cure, we don't believe any disease comes down except there's a cure in Islam. Whenever people lose hope, if there's something out there, Allah, when any disease comes down, Allah has made a cure as well. So if any disease out there is a cure. And so we have to try our best and strive to make these cures. We have to make sure we're clean. Make sure we wash our hands. Make sure that you don't just cough in your hands and start giving salam to everyone. And then similarly, mashallah, if you're a doctor, mashallah, we have to give such jazayah khayr to find the solution. You know, again, vaccines were an invention of the Muslims. There was one, Lady Montague, when she came to the Turkish lands, she saw that the Muslims were, I can't remember which disease it was, but like, they used to rub it a little bit on their children. Right, to a small disease, and it will make a little bit of there will be a little bit of an effect on the child, and then thereafter it will be cured. This is like an early type of vaccine. They will put a little bit of the disease on them, because why? Because the body will build immunity, and it will build a natural vaccine to it. Vaccines, again, are something the Muslims also invented, mashallah. So there is so much in behind this. And the most important thing, the most crucial thing is dua. It is dua. It is something that you and I need to do. And dua does not just mean, my brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, dua does not just mean I just raise my hands and raise it once and I made the dua. Say, Allah, please remove it, Allah, take care of it. No, that's not what it means. And subhanAllah, I think a lot of people here are hoping that I would speak about India and the situation in India. And I do, and I want to, mashallah. And I make dua for them. Allah, to give them afiyah. Allah, to protect them. Allah, to help them. Allah, to help them, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Ya Allah, whatever situation they're going through, Ya Allah, help the widows from them. Help the orphans from them. Ya Rabbul Alameen, help the sick of them. Help the weak of them. Ya Allah, they're being oppressed, Ya Rabbul Alameen. You help them like you help the Muslims of Badr. Ameen. And help the Muslims of Yemen, and of Syria, and of Kashmir, and of Burma, and every single area that Muslims are being afflicted and tried, Ya Allah. You know them, we don't know them. I make dua for them. But what we forget is that Allah does sometimes gives us a reminder from these people. You and I, subhanAllah, dua does not just mean that I just raise my hands. Dua means tadarru' ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you literally turn to Allah in humility. My life should change. I'm seeing this in the other side of the world. In India, whatever areas it's happening. And I came here as an Indian, or of a Bangladeshi, or of a Pakistani, or from Yemen, or from Syria, or from Somalia, or wherever I may come from. I'm coming from all these areas. Allah to put me in a place of afiyah. I have such opportunity here, both economic opportunity and both of spiritual opportunity. That I swear these people over there, their masajid are being burnt. You're in a masjid that's perfectly fine, but we're not coming to it. We can come here for Fajr and Ibadah, and we do this every single time. We pray Qunut Nazila. And I usually don't announce it, because when I announce it, Shaitan is like, you know, Mu'azhar, you ain't waking up today, right? Qunut Nazila is done for Fajr. We always make it for every single time. Because any single time, and I was waiting for the Saturday, because this is the easiest time for people to do it. But what happens is this, we don't attend the masjid anymore. We don't come to the masjid. We have an opportunity here in this country, mashallah. This country gives you so many benefits. Your children, they're sending them to these schools. We haven't made our own Muslim schools yet. These Islamic schools that we need. We desperately need these things. But we're not taking any opportunity at all. We're just looking around and around and around, looking at this country getting tried, this country being tried, this country being tried. We're not even doing anything as Muslims here. Tadarru' means that I change my life.
I think about what I'm doing, and don't tell me. Everyone's like, Sheikh, you're assuming all these things. You know yourself better than myself. If you know you can wake up and not waking up, then that's your problem. If that's your problem, I should wake up for Fajr. I should pray my Isha. Maybe I'm missing Fajr every single day. Something needs to change. Maybe because of me, these people are being punished. Maybe because of my sins, they're not able to change. Because I'm looking at haram at nighttime. My stuff is making everything happen. Maybe I need to change, inshallah ta'ala. Don't let anyone hold you back anymore. You need to make the effort, inshallah. We need to make the effort. And you'll see, subhanAllah, Allah will bring khayr. He brings such khayr into the world. He does. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. What we find is what? When the Muslims were being afflicted, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala said, لَمْ أَرَى أَنْفَعَ لِلْوَبَى مِنَ التَّسْبِيحِ. Imam Shafi'i said, I never saw anything more beneficial for a plague or any trial, except that you say, subhanAllah, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. That by making dhikr and ibadah of Allah, by changing your own, my life and your life, we will end up, we'll change this. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he was at the time of the plague. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah was in the time of the plague. He says, at the time of the plague, the Khalifa of the time said to everyone, he reminded everyone to do Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahya lil Munkar. He told everyone to command good and forbid evil. And then Ibn Kathir rahimahullah said, in the area of Syria that which he was in, he said, in the area of Syria which we were in, the plague lifted. The plague lifted because people started commanding good and forbidding evil. That's what we understand. When people are doing the right thing, Allah Ta'ala will save us. But we don't want to do the right thing. We just want to make excuse after excuse after excuse. And what do you find? That same the 700s of Islam was the same exact time that you'll find that Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah was a scholar of that time. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah was a scholar of that time. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali was a scholar of that time. Ibn Kathir was alive at that time. Ibn Khaldun was alive at that time. The same time where the plague came down, the same time we have these great scholars too. Allah Ta'ala will produce khayr. He does. And at the same time, you find this one little man, Uthman al-Ghazi. Allahu Akbar. Uthman al-Ghazi, right? What did he do? He was a nomad. He brought his own tribe. He started bringing them around. And he had a very big dream. He said, I want to unite the Muslims. I want to bring them all together. So he went around to every single Muslim man, getting as many followers as he could. And in that same time, because he was a nomad, you know, the plague doesn't, if you're moving around, the plague doesn't catch you. So he moves around, he captures all these different Muslim lands, mashallah. And then finally what happens is what? After he passes away and his generation comes up, right? They find Constantinople. Constantinople has become so weak. So weak because of the plague that hit it. So weak because of the plague that hit it. Allah helped the Muslims. So he goes and he conquers the entire city. It becomes Istanbul as you know today. And this is the Ottoman Empire, mashallah. The same exact generation where the plague was coming, the same generation the Ottoman Empire comes. But you cannot be a shaheed until the last moment, my brothers and sisters in Islam. You know, I need to make that shahada from today, that I need to change, I need to do something a bit more. My tahajjud, my ibadah, something needs to increase in me. I cannot just go every single day looking one problem, or else I am the problem in the world. May Allah give me the tawfiq, give everyone the tawfiq. I apologize if my words offended anyone here, but we need to understand, inshallah, that when we see something in the world, we need to take a lesson from this, inshallah. May Allah give us so much tawfiq, ya Allah. Allah alleviate the plague in the world, ya Allah. Allah give rahmah and barakah to the Muslim, ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah.